Good morning. It's a joy to address you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for inviting me into your home or into the assembly of the church. And we continue our lesson today talking about God. God is the greatest subject that our mind can ever think about. He's in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says God is from everlasting to everlasting. And the great joy is that God wants to know us, and He wants to be our Father. He wants us to be His child through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible says we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I was reading from the book of Isaiah. And chapters 57 and verse 15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So God is the God that inhabits eternity, and yet He says, I dwell with those of a humble heart. He's big enough to fill the whole universe, and yet He's small enough, as it were, to live within my heart. That is, He's very personal. So last week we talked about God. God is incomprehensible. God is knowable. And God is personal. And we were talking about the word Elohim, used 2,500 times in the Old Testament, the God of sovereignty, the God of power, and 48 times Elohim created. And that word created is only used of God, for He is the only one that creates as He creates. An artist may show you a painting, say, look at my creation. Or someone may build something in their workshop and say, look what I've made. Or a cook may make a new recipe and say, how do you like my new creation? Well, that's a very weak and general use of the word. What they mean is, I took some ingredients and put them together, or refashioned them, or reformed them. But it is God who created out of nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, God is the first cause of all other causes. Now, some people deny that God is the first cause, and they postulate other ideas. And people talk about the Big Bang theory that took 15 billion years ago. They say there was a Big Bang, and from that Big Bang there came all the planets, the moon, the stars, the earth, and the water almost instantaneously. You know, when I read the Bible, Genesis 1 sounds like a Big Bang to me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, there could have been a Big Bang. We don't know how God did everything. But if there was a Big Bang, what caused the Big Bang? You know, if you heard a loud noise right now, just a loud noise, you'd say, what was that? Sounded like a shotgun gun going off. Or was that fireworks? Or was that a backfire from a car? Or, wow, was that a crash in the streets? What was that bang? And someone else says, oh, nothing caused that. It just happened. And you'd say, wait a minute. I may look like it, but I'm not a fool. Something caused it. No bang ever happens without a banger. What caused it? You'd be a fool to deny that something caused the bang. For every event as a cause. And science is built on that. So, if the Big Bang started everything, who caused or what caused the Big Bang? And what was there to bang? Where did that something come from? What substance, what forces, what powers made the bang? You see, elementary logic and observation tell us something cannot come from nothing. Something is. Therefore, something has always been. And what is that something or someone? It's either mind or matter. We either have a self-existent being out there, or we have a self-existent universe. If there was a time when nothing existed, then nothing could exist now. If the atheist supports the Big Bang theory, then he must believe that something came from nothing and by nothing. And something cannot come into existence uncaused from nothing. And nothing can cause its own existence because it has to exist in order to be a cause. So God created the heavens and the earth. I like to state it like this: whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist. Therefore, the universe has a cause. Scientists tell us that the universe is running down. It's like a clock that's been wound up and it's running down. It's like a giant stove that's cooling off. Now, if we had an eternal universe, it would have already run down. And it would have already been cold if it was eternal. So something must have had a beginning. You know, God is bigger than I can get my mind around. Man is smart, isn't he? I've been told that there's more technology in your iPhone than NASA had in 1969 when they put Neil Armstrong on the moon. Who made the iPhone? You see, nothing can come from nothing. If I found a watch in the street, a timepiece, and I looked at it and I saw that it was ticking. And I opened it up and I saw all these little wheels moving around. I'd be a fool to say that nobody put this together. It just happened. There was some wind and there was some plastic and leather and there was pieces of metal and there was a big windstorm and it just blew all those things together and out popped a watch. You'd say, Calvin, you're foolish. What about the universe? Who created it? The Bible says that every house is built by someone. But he who created all things is God. Look at the house you're in right now. Look around at this beautiful building that you may be assembled in. How did it get here? Who put it together? Who designed it? It wasn't caused by some explosion. There's mind behind it. Now, if you know there's mind behind that, there's mind behind the universe. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. The Bible says by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. So what is seen was made out of what is not seen. And when Paul spoke there on Mars Hill or Areopagus there in Acts the 17th chapter, He said, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made with human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." So, did the universe just happen, or is there a cause? Let's say I cleaned out my garage. I mean, I swept it and cleaned it. I got every piece of dust and dirt and everything out, and it's totally empty and totally clean. There's no plastic, there's no metal, there's no fabric, there's no rubber, there's no wiring. Now the garage is clean. It's really clean. Now let's shut the garage door. Now, how long would it take for a red Chevy Corvette to evolve? How long would it take? 100 years? 1,000 years? 1 billion years? 1 trillion years? You see, time deteriorates things. It doesn't build things. So no matter how much time you postulate, no new Corvette is going to appear. Now apply that to the universe. No amount of time can account for the order, the beauty, and the specified complexity of the universe. So God created. In the beginning, God created. Well, what does that mean, though, in our life? Well, the Bible says 6 times in Genesis 1, and God saw that it was good. And the last time he says, and God saw that it was very good. So creation is good. The material world is good because God made it. When the Bible talks about the world being sinful and evil, it's talking about the evil thoughts and imaginations and behavior in the world by human beings. It's not talking about the material things that God created. For the Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. God created the first man and first woman. He created the human body. He created us to think like we do and to act like we do as far as being able to move and to relate to one another. And the first command he gave to the human race was be fruitful and multiply. It has to do with marital relations. The second command he gave to the human race was fill the earth and subdue it. It has to do with science. So God is in favor of science. Science is simply discovering God's secrets after him. The universe has God's fingerprints all over it. Science supports the idea of a creator, of a God who made the world. Without order and design in the universe, there could be no science at all. And what we term natural law, like inertia or gravity, they're really observations of just how the universe works. And whose idea was this? This was God's idea. And I thank God that some of the greatest thinkers in the universe, scientists and others, believe in God. You see, creation is good. And that means that food is good. I enjoy a nice, medium rare or medium T-bone steak. I enjoy seeing the mountains, the snow-capped Rockies. I enjoy sailing the oceans. I enjoy relationships with my wife. I enjoy everything God made. I enjoy living because God gave me life. You see, creation is good. Nothing God made is evil or shameful or to be avoided or unnaturally suppressed. The old Gnostic idea of the second century was that spirit is good, but matter is evil. But the Bible says those ideas are not from God. So creation is good. But creation also sets the standard for human relationships. God created the first man and the first woman. What race were they? Was Eve a light-skinned, blue-eyed blonde? Really? Was Adam a big, strong Caucasian? Really? Well, where'd they live? They lived in the Garden of Eden. Where was that located? Well, the Bible says it was between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. Now, the country of Iraq in the Middle East. What color skin are people from there? What color skin was Jesus? He was a Jew, a Middle Easterner, not white. More olive or brown toned. You see, Adam and Eve had within their DNA all of the races and the different colors of mankind. Here in Acts 17, it says, from one man, God has created all nations, from one blood. You know, all human blood's the same. If you need a blood transfusion, you don't know what color skin the person had that it came from. From one blood, he created. We've got a lot of problems in our country today and in the world over race relationships. Black lives matter. Yellow lives matter. Red lives matter. Brown lives matter. White lives matter. There's no critical race theory in the Bible. We're all made of one blood. And you know, we that are lighter toned need to realize that according to the growth patterns of the United States, by the year 2050, that's just 30 years from now, that we'll be in a minority in this country. You see, skin color means nothing to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By faith, you're all children of God in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. No racial superiority. You know, the Bible would put the end to all racism. Jesus Christ brings peace, love, and mutual care among people of all races, of all ethnicities, of all skin colors, of all nationalities, of all language groups. The Bible says in Colossians 3:11, Christ is all and in all. And in Revelation 7, the Bible says that in that international, innumerable host, there are every language, tribe, and people together praising God. So creation is good. And creation sets the standard for human relationships. And creation models male and female relationships too. Jesus went back to the beginning when he spoke of the goodness of marriage, of man and woman living together and becoming one flesh. Jesus quoted that verse. One flesh means the greatest intimacy physically and mentally and spiritually that's possible. And the Apostle Paul referred back to the created order when he talked about the roles of men and women in the church. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2. And all the sins, faults, flaws, inadequacies, and abuses of the sexes came from the fall, not from creation. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the loving relationship of a husband and wife and the loving relationship between them. And the wife considers her husband, and the husband loves his wife as he loves his own body and as Christ loves the church. So the relationship of husband and wife is modeled after the original pair in the garden, the days of innocence. It's modeled in Christ in the church. So creation that is good, creation sets the standard for human relationships, and creation models male and female relationships. And God makes covenants with people. God forms relationships with people. And the Bible says that he makes the great covenant through Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, about 600 years and more before Jesus came, Jeremiah says, I will make a new covenant, speaking for God as God speaks to him. Says the Lord, this is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, their Elohim, and they will be my people. A new covenant, a new relationship. And Jesus said, when he said at the Last Supper with his disciples, this is my blood of the new covenant. And just like the old covenant was sanctified with this sprinkling of blood, so we are purified and sanctified the blood of Jesus Christ. Bible says God is in control then. God is the God of the universe. Thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever, says 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So the Bible says God has made a covenant with us. I will be to you a God, Elohim. And as we say, my God, Elohim, in whom I will trust, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus fully reveals God to us. In John, the 14th chapter, the disciples wanted to get to know God. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. And Jesus said, don't you know, Philip? Even after I've been among you so long, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? And the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe me on the evidence of my works. So Jesus is the visible form of the invisible God. He's the second person of the Godhead, the tripersonal God team. And the New Testament reveals to us the triune nature of God, a triunity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. That's all right out of John chapter 1. So Jesus puts skin on God. He puts a face on God. And to know Jesus is to know God. And the only way to have communion with God the Father is through Jesus the Son. The Bible says, all things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. So Jesus said, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, who came in the flesh to save us from our sins. He died on the cross, he was buried, he was resurrected on the third day, he ascended into heaven, and he gave his disciples the commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we accept Jesus, we receive from God the Father everything that he has to offer us in the way of forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, eternal life and relationship with God. To know Jesus is to know God. Praise God. The God of the universe can be our God, our Father, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen and amen.